America's greatest victory in men's World Cup soccer will soon be the subject of a major motion picture. No, it will not feature a charismatic bloke with beard aflame or recreate the United States' shocking 1994 first-round victory over Colombia. It will instead tell the story of an American team that stunned the international soccer community 53 years ago. Hillary Wickay of KWMU in St. Louis sat in on some of the preliminary filming, and she has this report.
The year is 1950. The place is Sportsman's Park in St. Louis. The soccer players on the field kick a brown leather ball and wear wool. The fans crowd the wooden bleachers. The men wear neckties. The ladies wear dresses and bright red lipstick. Club players Harry Keough, Frank Borgie, Gino Periani, Charlie Colombo, and Pee Wee Wallace take to the field for a game sponsored by a car dealer and local union.
Cut.
Except it's not really 1950. Hollywood has taken over modern-day Marquette Park and is recreating St. Louis club soccer.
Guys behind camera, we'll keep it nice and quiet. We'll get a good, clean soundtrack. Thank you.
Here we go, ready.
Five of the starting players for the 1950 U.S. World Cup team were discovered in games like these. Four of the guys came from an Italian neighborhood in St. Louis called The Hill, one of the few places in the U.S. that played soccer at the time. The team, put together by a poorly funded U.S. Soccer Federation, wasn't expected to win a single game at the World Cup in Brazil. The odds that the U.S. would beat England, the most dominant team of the time, stood at 500 to 1. But the hastily assembled team managed one of sport's most historic upsets, defeating England and effectively knocking them out of the tournament. Defender Harry Keough still lives in St. Louis and is now 75 years old.
I said, boy, do I feel sorry for these poor so-and-sos, you know, the other guys, because I said, you know, they're never going to live this down, that we would beat them. One English sports writer always says, you know, I don't mention the game because, he said, you know, I want to forget all about it.
It's exactly the type of David versus Goliath victory that's the stuff of Hollywood.
And action!
It's the stuff director David Anspaugh and screenwriter Angelo Pizzo have experience bringing to life on the big screen. Together they made Rudy, a film about the underdog at Notre Dame. They also created Hoosiers, a movie about the little rural Indiana basketball team that could. Now, with funding from one of the creators of Major League Soccer, The Beautiful Game is getting its feel-good success movie. It's called The Game of Their Lives, and Anspaugh wants it to be the real thing.
And the way we've designed this is that there's no use of trick photography. The shots that we have with our guys, even scoring goals, it's not done with, you know, cuts and, you know, all of a sudden you see some guy's feet and he kicks it in your face, but it's somebody else that's really kicking it. No, our guys are doing all this stuff. The action, I mean, the slide tackles, the headers, the, you know, all that stuff is being done by the real guys.
Play a corner!
Ball, another ball!
Play a corner!
Quickly, get in there.
Corner, guys.
Anspaugh admits he knew virtually nothing about soccer when he started the project, so he hired consultant Eric Winalda, a veteran of the U.S. national team and one of the first American players to find success in a premier European league. Together, they auditioned 6,000 actors who could play soccer and soccer players who wanted to act.
Zach, find him. Let's go. Find him. Turn.
Good. Again.
Winalda was exacting.
I was dubbed Dr. No at the beginning of this thing because I didn't let anybody. I actually cut Louis Mandelaar the first time, and he actually has been on the Australian national team, so, I mean, it was kind of difficult to make this team.
Actor Zachary Bryan plays Harry Keough. Bryan has played soccer since age 6 and went through the Olympic development program, but he says Winalda's one of the toughest coaches he's ever had.
There were a couple shots where I chested off and I scored the goal, but it wasn't like a pretty goal. So he kept making me go and do it and do it, and finally I just nailed it. And I knew the second I got the one that Eric wanted. And I remember as soon as I hit the goal, I screamed, yeah, like totally happy because I scored this goal.
Good shot!
Actor Gerard Butler, who grew up in Scotland, can't remember a time from age 3 to 22 that he wasn't playing soccer. But for this movie, to play the part of Frank Borgie, he had to learn to play goalie.
That ground was baked hard some of the time. And I was diving. I landed in some awkward ways, and then one day my back just completely seized up. I couldn't move for 4 hours. I've hurt my hand, I've hurt my leg, I've hurt my back. But that's all cool, you know. I mean, goalkeeper is the craziest position.
It was a position the real Frank Borghi was delighted to play. Now 78, he says even in his younger days, he wasn't the best runner or kicker. He just wanted to play the game with his friends.
I just try to play my position and to keep my eye on the ball, which is the main thing in any sport, you know, and I enjoy doing it. And I enjoy grabbing crosses from the wing. I just like to do that, you know. And I was not a kicker. I couldn't kick like a lot of these goal miners do now, and they kick 60 yards. So I had to throw the ball most of the time, and I managed to throw pretty well. So it worked out pretty good.
It worked out legendarily. In Game 1, the U.S. team performed better than expected, losing to Spain 3-1. As they took the field with England in Game 2, the U.S. team's morale was high, and in the 37th minute, Joe Gaitchens headed the ball into England's net. For the rest of the game, England kept the pressure on the American goal, but keeper Frank Borghi was everywhere. Actor Gerard Butler has heard the stories.
The Brazilian fans, there's a particular name they gave him, but it was something to do with God. They say he must have come from heaven, or he was a god, because there was the English, again, were all over the Americans for most of the game and pretty much camped out a lot of the time in the US box and just fired in shot after shot. They could have scored 10 goals, but they couldn't get it past Frank. You know, he just used, you know, his head, his feet, his hands, his body, anything to stop the ball going in. You know, it seems to have been an amazing, amazing performance.
The Brazilians called him El Magnifico, the Magnificent One, Frank Borghi.
I kept looking at the American team, the bench, and I seen guys putting their fingers up 2 minutes to go, 1 minute to go. And I remember saying to myself, I look at the referee, and he had the whistle in his mouth. I said, darn it, blow that whistle. And then before you know it, he blew the whistle, and then the fans just jumped down off the playing field. They were all excited.
The Brazilians carried El Magnifico off on their shoulders. This would be the time in any heroic story to bring in sound of the crowd cheering and chanting. But the man who owned the film rights for the tournament didn't bother filming the Americans. There are hardly any photos. And only one American reporter covered the game, a St. Louis Post-Dispatch writer who took vacation time and paid his own way to Brazil to watch the boys from St. Louis play. When the final score crossed the wires that day in June, many sports editors figured it was a mistake. Harry Keough wasn't surprised by that.
Like I told somebody one time, I'm glad we didn't win 2-0 because I'm having a hard enough time explaining how the hell we even won 1-0. Because everybody's saying, how could you guys beat them? They were much better than we were.
Actor Zach Bryan says after losing their next game, the Giant Killers quietly returned home.
These guys walked off an airplane, didn't have one reporter, didn't have one newspaper person or whatever. They got off the plane and basically went right back to their normal lives. I don't know. I mean, it just goes to show that what soccer kind of meant to the United States back then.
Harry Keough returned to his job at the post office. Frank Borghi went on to run a funeral home.
When we got home, it was kind of, you know, ho-hum. You know, somebody said, hey, Harry, was that a professional team you guys beat from England? You know, I've heard that from a lot of people who should have known better.
Ready, background and action.
Keough might find his life to be a little less ho-hum when The Game of Their Lives is released nationwide in the fall of 2004. For Only a Game, I'm Hillary Wickay in St. Louis.
Many a tear has to fall.